Chapter 5. We're going to fully expose a lie. It's going to be very hard for people to receive the truth necessary to be free. It's going to be a tough one for many. But only by knowing the truth can we be set free from any form of bondage. It's going to be a tough one, though. Lucifer, Satan, the devil, is a liar, the father of lies, and the father of all liars. This particular lie has long been accepted as the truth by everyone and almost universally taught as truth. However, when one would receive this particular lie, the demons that you might have in you get locked in. And you just threw away the key if you receive this lie. It's so difficult for most Christians to think or believe that they could possibly have a demon in them because of this particular lie, and how this particular lie is taught as a universal truth in all the seminaries and churches today. Let everything be confirmed in the mouth of two or more witnesses. There's an audio file. You'll find a link to it on the Power with Persecution or Comfort with Compromise right up on the website. But there's an audio file by Pastor Win Worley. He was a great man of God for many years in a leadership role regarding spiritual warfare and deliverance. To hear him talking about it, I think you'll get the confirmation that you need if this is difficult for you to receive the truth regarding this lie that has you bound, and you're not going to be able to be set free unless you can receive and acknowledge this truth regarding the lie that you probably have received. Everybody's been taught this lie. And there's also an audio file link that you can find there that is about how that Christians are the primary targets of the demons. We'll give you to know where we're going with this whole book and why it's so important to go through the preparation which the Lord provides for us to go on to perfection. First is the good news that, yes, you and me and every believer does have an apostolic anointing. Satan and his host of hell are totally defeated foes. Our great king said, "It is finished." The host of hell is outnumbered 2-1 by God's faithful angels. The Lord's faithful angels are still fully armed. Satan and his host have been totally disarmed. All the devil and his angels have to work with is ignorance, deception, and fear. However, if you are deceived and held in ignorance of the apostolic anointing that you have, you end up being effectively prevented from walking in his power for his glory in binding and loosing and remitting and retaining. I am glad you have this apostolic anointing, which is part of what 1 John 1:20 clearly says. 1 John 2:20. I'm sorry. 1 John 2:20. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, was manifested in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, was manifested in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. Second time I read that sentence. Both times that I read it is true, of course. But the second time I read it with the commas that are necessary in order for that sentence to be grammatically correct. Without those commas, the sentence would not be grammatically correct. And we want to focus on those commas and know that the other comma that is in there, we want to focus on those first two commas and know that that last comma is the more common usage. But we want to focus on those first two commas. And what's the purpose of those first two commas? in the phrase Jesus Christ, comma, the only begotten Son of God, comma, those commas link. That's their purpose. That's what they do. In that phrase, Jesus Christ, comma, the only begotten Son of God, comma, those commas link. Those commas tell us that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. And the only begotten Son of God is Jesus Christ. That is the purpose of those commas. Now, we'll go on a little comma hunt in order to not think we know, but that we may know that we know what Paul's thorn in the flesh was, with absolute certainty of the more sure word of God, written in 2 Corinthians 12:7. We're not going to think we know what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. We're going to know that we know with absolute certainty, coming from the more sure word of God, written by his Holy Spirit. We're going to know. We will see how the word of God is explicit and allows for no other possibility unless one would willfully choose to exalt a vain imagination against the knowledge of God. You will no longer wonder why no preacher or teacher ever tells you what the word of God says Paul's thorn in the flesh was. We should know Paul's thorn in the flesh was a demon. The word of God in 2 Corinthians 12:7 tells you what Paul's thorn in the flesh was with explicit certainty, that there is only one possible thing Paul's thorn in the flesh could be, according to the word of God. And you've probably heard every explanation for what different people think Paul's thorn in the flesh was, except what the word of God tells you that it was. When you read it, you may still find it hard to believe. But let's try anyhow. I'm going to read it with the commas. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, comma, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, comma, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, comma, lest I should be exalted above measure. Let me read it one more time. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, comma, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, comma, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, comma, lest I should be exalted above measure. According to the word of God, Paul's thorn in the flesh was the messenger of Satan to buffet him, a demon. In Greek, it is angelos satanas, an angel of Satan. Yes, the Greek for Paul's thorn in the flesh is angelos satanas. Paul sought the Lord three times for deliverance from that demon in his flesh. The Lord told him no, that his grace would be sufficient. Why? For us. Yes. It was for us that Paul did carry that load of a demon in his flesh throughout his whole ministry. Why? So that we would know that if Paul could have a demon in his flesh, then why should we ever think that we could not? Paul carried it for us, who will have to deal with demonic manifestations like no people who ever lived. Spirit-filled Christians are not exempt from having demons in them. In fact, they're the high-priority targets. Brethren, the Antichrist war on the saints is real. Having been involved in deliverance ministry for longer than I like to admit, I simply tell you that if Jesus said there are demons, you better believe the word of God and not follow the fuds, thuds, and duds to hell. In this Antichrist war on the saints, it becomes vital. The shows, such as are performed by the likes of Kenneth Copeland and Benny Hinn, give tremendous ground for demonic entry, gained through receiving heresy regarding the doctrine of Christ, particularly so as it relates to the blood atonement. The feel-good, tickling demonic spirits gain entry to the mind and bodies of those attending the shows. People are made to feel hyper-spiritual. Feel hyper-spiritual. Many become empowered by counterfeit spirits, which they sincerely believe to be the Holy Spirit, thereby giving their consciences over to be seared with a hot iron. It's a major sign of the times, but it should be no surprise that Ken Copeland and other Word Faith ministers could be found dining with the Pope in Vatican Roma in 2014. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifested to all men, as theirs also was. 2 Timothy 3:8-9. Which, by the way, is a specific warning for this last day's time frame now. Yes, this is a specific warning for our time now. It's strange how few realize that another word for salvation is deliverance. If we walk in salvation, we should walk in deliverance. Deliverance should be the first and main ministry of every church, especially in the Antichrist war on the saints. Just understanding that salvation and deliverance are synonyms tells us why Jesus said the first sign that follows those who believe is that in his name we are to cast out devils. Mark 16:17-18, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. No wonder the Jesuit Society of Lucifer has worked so hard to either remove Mark 16:9-20, or at least to have great doubt about those verses. That is your apostolic anointing that they want you to surrender to the Pope. Yes, that's what it's all about. It's about they want your apostolic anointing to be surrendered to the Pope. Beware of a subtle snare that the demons lay for people that begin to walk in deliverance. The demons will try to get you into vanity about having power over the power of the enemy. They would like you to believe that you wrought your own deliverance by your own hand, and that gets into glorifying yourself rather than glorifying God for your victory. We should remember how that when the 70 disciples reported back to Yeshua with such great joy that the demons were subject to them in his name, that Yeshua sternly reminded them to rather rejoice that their names were written in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life. Romans 8:20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Chapter 6, Romans 8:20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. We are all subject to vanity, and we have to always be on guard against it. The way to avoid this snare is to praise God in all things. If we're praising and glorifying God for our deliverance, we're reminding ourselves that it only came to us by the grace of God to begin with. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, but the excellency of the power is of God and not of us. So many deliverance ministers fall as they think it is their anointing which causes the devils to flee. It's the authority and power represented by the name of Jesus and the power of the blood of Yeshua. We are given power and authority to tread on snakes and scorpions. Why snakes and scorpions? The snake is vanity or pride. The scorpion is envy. Romans 8:20, the creature was made subject to vanity, pride. God said so. Are you one of God's creatures? Or you were made subject to vanity? James 4:5-7. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Snakes and scorpions, pride and vanity, and the scorpions are envy. And you're stuck with them. You cannot be delivered from those. You're stuck with them until the day you die. But ignorance is not the way to deal with them. Put your gospel shoes on. There are two spirits, pride and envy, which everyone has and cannot be cast out, but they are to be kept under our feet, and they can and should be bound. And that's why the full armor of God includes having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Nothing is so genuinely humbling and which can keep us walking in victory over pride and envy like the gospel. We know and should have our gospel shoes on all the time with the recollection of how Jesus Christ suffered that greatest injustice of history for my sins and your sins, thereby making peace with God for us sinners through his great sacrifice. Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. God will not give his glory to another. And if we glorify ourselves, we fall into the sin of pride. So many deliverance ministers fall at the pride of thinking it was their power or their anointing which caused the devils to be cast out. Rejoice rather that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and do not forget why. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If we get proud and puffed up, then we have grieved God's Holy Spirit, and we stumble and fall, realizing that we have power over Satan and his kingdom. In the name of Jesus is a heady thing. Let me tell you, it is a very heady thing. And we are vain creatures. God said so. It's a great temptation to become vain and proud. The only way to avoid this is to make sure that we glorify and praise God for his wonderful works in setting us free from the slavery of our sins. If God has been gracious and merciful to deliver us from bondage to a demon, it's because he has confirmed his word. It is because the power and authority of his son's name to work that deliverance for us. We must remember that it's not for our own righteousness. It's not for our own namesake or our vain glory that he's done it. Isaiah 48:9-11, for my namesake. Yeah, you see, God says, for my namesake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction for mine own sake, even for mine own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. If we call ourselves Christians and make a free will choice to depart from iniquity, God is glorified in delivering us from the enemy that oppresses us. We have not done any good work to deserve this or paid the price to obtain it. The Old Testament is full of scriptures about warfare. The vast majority of the tactics and the means of identifying the specific demon spirits and how to deal with them is found in the Old Testament. The revelation of the power now, the revelation of this power that believers have over demons and how all curses may be broken is revealed in the New Testament. However, the primary understandings of the tactics and methods for deliverance are in the Old Testament. The Israelites then had to wrestle with flesh and blood. Many Christians recognize that we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but sadly, most do not wrestle at all. It's time that we all must recognize that we are called and even commanded in the New Testament to wrestle with the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. These are the demons and strongholds the demons have built up in our minds through passivity and vain imaginations, and receiving false doctrines, and receiving the lies of the devil. Receiving these lies of the devil keeps us in bondage to them. And the devils keep legal ground and doorways available in us for them to be able to obtain rest by indwelling our bodies. When Jesus gave the disciples the authority to use his name and sent them out to cast out devils, they knew the Old Testament. So they knew the tactics. And they were immediately so successful that Satan, the accuser of the brethren, immediately came down from his accuser of the brethren position in heaven like lightning. Luke 10:17-21. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. When apostate churchdom receives, believes, and teaches and preaches the devil's number one most important lie so unanimously, then all that's left is a vain, powerless form of godliness that denies the power thereof. 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Do we understand why that lie is so important to the devil and the whole host of hell? It may be the devil's most important lie that when a believer is born again and baptized and receives the Holy Spirit, that he cannot have a devil. That is perhaps the devil's most important lie. The truth is that such believers are the high priority targets for the devils. Satan already has the unbelievers. Only believers represent a threat to the devils. And the power and authority which the Lord Jesus Christ gives to every believer is denied when people receive that lie that you do not have or cannot possibly have a devil. Instantly, you end up with a form of godliness which denies the power thereof. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Brethren, it's time we realize that there are only two kinds of people in the world, believers and unbelievers. Believers cast out devils and are constantly on guard to keep them cast out of themselves and others and to keep them out. Unbelievers do not.